Hi, this is Chris Sorensen. Welcome to Brookville Road Community Church Podcast. If you haven't done so already, please take a moment to check out our website at brookvilleroad.cc for all the latest information about what's going on at Community Church. I hope the following message inspires you to take your next step in becoming a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ. Enjoy.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much that you have put breath in our lungs, that we can show up in this place and give you and you alone glory. We praise you. Thank you for making this creation and putting us in it. Thank you for seeing us while we were yet sinners and sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for that sin and then to raise him up again. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're alive and offering us life today. We glory in your name. We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you, Father, for what's ahead of us, being with you forever because of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Man, so good. So good to have you here with us today. Myself, the staff, others, we've been praying for you that today would just be a divine moment, that you would be blessed by the Lord, that this wouldn't just simply be like a church service that we attend and we do it out of routine, out of habit, just out of motion, but that truly, that the Lord would minister to our hearts individually. We've gathered today because Jesus Christ is alive. He did die on the cross and he was buried in a tomb on a Friday, but on a Sunday, he rose from the dead. And he's alive today. And we have eyewitness testimony of this very fact. I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 28. If you have your Bible, you can open there. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. We start in verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, that would be Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. So they passed out. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I've told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now, after this had happened, after Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible tells us that Jesus appeared to people over a period of 40 days. And at the end of the 40 days, Jesus ascended back up into heaven before their very eyes. And the Bible tells us that at this very moment, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, that Jesus Christ is King and Lord over all. The Bible tells us that one day Jesus Christ is coming back. He's returning for his church, and we're looking forward to that day. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he has opened up heaven for every single one of us. It's why he said in John 14, verse 19, Jesus says, "Because I live, you also will live." That's why we're here today. Life. We're here because of life. Maybe you're thinking, "Well, I'm not quite sure about that. I'm here because somebody invited me. They said, come to church, and so I love them, so I came to church." And maybe you're thinking, "I don't really quite know what's going on, and I'm not sure about these people around me." To be honest, I'm not sure about the people around you. Maybe you're like, "I don't know why they're so excited and what's going on. I don't really feel like I fit in." Now, if that's you, I understand how you feel. Not about being here, but about being places where I haven't fit in before. For instance, a few years after my wife Tammy and I got married, Tammy said, "Would you like to go to the movies with me and my mom, with my mother-in-law?" And I said, "Sure." And so the movie that we went to was called Little Women. I didn't know what Little Women was about. Like, evidently there's a book, and I'm a man. I'm not going to read Little Women. And so, I don't know, maybe I thought the movie Little Women was about women of short stature. I don't remember. So I love my wife, and I wanted to be with her, so I'm like, "Sure, yeah, I'll go to the movie." I walk into the movie theater, and I immediately realized I was in the wrong room. It was filled with women. There was only one other man in there. It was an older man sitting next to his wife. And when he saw me come in, he gave me this hopeful look like I was there to save him. Like I'm from SEAL Team 6 or something. Like, let's get out of here. I can't tell you what the movie was about. I just know I was in the wrong place. I didn't feel like I fit in. I wasn't aware of all that was going on. And if you're here and you're not quite sure about what's going on, you're actually in good company. Because back in 2010, there was a survey done by Barna, the Barna Survey Group. They asked Americans, what's Easter about? And only 42% of Americans were able to say that Easter is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 58%, almost 6 out of 10, thought that Easter is really just basically about getting together with family and having a meal or hiding eggs for some reason and eating candy. So if we're really going to come and understand the true meaning that Easter is about life, then we've got to go back. And we've got to take a look at the first death. And the very first death we find happened between the first two people created. We go back to Adam and Eve. When God created mankind, he created them male and female. And he put them in a garden. It was paradise. They had everything that they could ever want. They enjoyed the presence of God. They would walk with him. They were close to him. God gave them only one condition, only one thing that they could not do. They could do anything else they wanted in the garden. He said, don't eat from this tree. If you eat from this tree of that day, you will die. And unfortunately, Eve believed Satan. She believed the lie and she ate from that tree. Satan said, you won't surely die. God knows that if you eat from that tree, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. So she took from that tree and she ate and she gave some to her husband, Adam. And from that moment, death entered into the equation of our story. Now, God was merciful. He did not take their physical life immediately. He could have, but he didn't. He spared their physical life in that moment. But in that moment, they both died spiritually and they were separated from God. And that's the story for every single one of us. The Bible makes it clear that the wages of sin is death, and that every single person has fallen short of God's glory, that every one of us have fallen short of God's holy perfection. We have all sinned. And you don't even need to really know or read the Bible to see that in this world, there's sin and there's evil. We look out across the landscape of what's happening in our world and we see that it's broken and we see that there is wickedness. And while we're tempted to take our goodness and everything good about us and take our goodness and then compare it to the sins of others, we would all have to admit that we have all sinned, that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. I have sinned. Every single one of us must come face to face and be humble enough to say, I am a sinner and I am in need of a Savior. That is a result of the fall. That is a result of that sin that entered into mankind. Our sin causes this break in the fellowship with God. It caused death. But God wasn't content to allow his creation to walk away from him and to be abandoned forever. And so God began to initiate a plan. Even there in the garden, he had a plan to restore mankind. He would move in our direction so that we once again would have a relationship with him and we could once again have life, spiritual life, eternal life. But the problem remains. The problem is we have sin, and that sin requires punishment. And because God is just, he is holy, he can't just ignore sin. He can't just pretend that none of this has ever happened and that we aren't doing wrong things and running from him and that we're not really at odds and enemies of his trying to lead our own lives and be God of our own life. He can't ignore that. And so God decided in order to take that punishment, his plan was this: I will come and I will pay the price for them. And so God took on flesh through the miracle of the virgin birth, Jesus Christ entered into the equation. Jesus is 100% God, and he is 100% man. We needed a perfect sacrifice because none of us are perfect. So only a spotless lamb, we sang about the lamb earlier, only a spotless sacrifice could stand in that place for our sin, all of mankind's sin. He's 100% God, but he's 100% man as well. And he experienced temptation just like you experience, only he never sinned. He never failed in any way. He experienced pain as a human being. On the cross, he experienced excruciating physical pain. Yet deeper than the excruciating physical pain would be the pain that he bore, knowing that the wrath of God for your sin and my sin and all the sin of this world was placed upon him. The anguish that would come, knowing that he is bearing on his shoulder my sins, my wickedness, and the world's wickedness. And he did that so that we might have forgiveness. God took on flesh. He came to this earth because he loves us. He loves his creation. The Bible tells us this in Romans 5, verse 8. But God shows his love for us in this, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we didn't have it all together, even when we weren't perfect, even when we couldn't straighten out our own lives, God looked at those he loved and he said, I will move in their direction and I will die in their place. I will take their punishment. The beautiful thing is Jesus Christ did die on the cross, bearing our sins, past, present, future, restoring a relationship with God. But Jesus didn't stay dead. They put him in a tomb, and on Sunday morning, he rose again. Yeah. He rose to life, conquering death. So that's why we're here. We're here because of life. Jesus' resurrected life and the resurrected life he wants to give you. And because Jesus lives, he says you too can live. You can have life. You can live resurrected lives. But there's no way to have a resurrected life apart from Jesus Christ. You can't make your own life. You can't bring about your own perfection. Because again, when we come into this world, we're separated by God with our sin. We're all dead. We come into this world dead. It says this in Ephesians 2:1. It says we are dead in our sins and our transgressions. We're dead. It reminds me of a story that I heard about an 85-year-old widow. She had decided that she was going to get back into the dating scene. And so she was set up on a blind date with a 92-year-old man from church. And so the 85-year-old widow goes on the blind date with the 92-year-old man. And after the date, she comes home and she's all frustrated. She's upset. And her daughter's there. And her daughter says, Mom, what's wrong? She said, I had to slap him 3 times. She said, Mom, did he get fresh with you? She said, No. I just kept thinking he was dead. We're all dead. Not physically yet, but we come into this world spiritually dead, separated from God. We feel it. We sense it. Like, no, we come into the world. We have life, physical life. Like, our hearts are beating and we got breath in our lungs. But we're separated from God. And we sense that and we know that something isn't quite right. And the only way that you and I can step into the place where it is right and we have life is through Jesus Christ. Jesus is life. And Jesus offers life. He offers to you eternal life, abundant life, joyous life. It is only found in Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, too many people go looking for life in this world outside of him. They go looking for life in the things of this world. And as they go through that, eventually they discover what you already know. Life isn't found in the things of this world. We know this. On the inside of us, we all have this thirst. There's a desire in our soul to finally be full, to be satiated. But the things of this world have never, ever brought that about for us. So we go and search, and we go and search without God because we think, I'm going to lead my life. I'm going to be Lord of my life. I'll make a way. I'll find it, and I'm pretty sure I can find it in this world. And so people go looking for life, and you think that you'll find life in one more image. One more click, just one more, but it's never enough, and it never satisfies. Your soul is thirsty. For some people, they move in the direction of drugs. If I can just get one more hit. I mean, just one more hit. I won't need to touch it ever again. But it's never just one more hit. It never fully and finally satiates. We begin to think, if I just had more money, if I had a bigger nest egg, well, then I'd feel safe, then I'd feel whole, then I'd be complete. Maybe if we got a bigger house. That's what my heart's longing for, a bigger house. If I got a better car, if I could just get that car, I won't need anything else. I will be happy the rest of my days. We get the car and it never satiates. If I could just be loved, if I could just have people who would look at me and love me and care for me and want me around, if I could just get some popularity, if I could get more clicks, if I could get more likes, if I could have more people paying attention to me, well then, finally, I would have life. But we get those things, we crave those things, and they have never fully satisfied you. There's only one thing to fill that hole in your heart, and it is Christ. And he has come to offer you life, abundant life, that has never been found in and of yourself or the things of this world. But it sure doesn't stop people from trying, does it? And we have examples all around us of people who go looking for life in this world. Maybe you've heard of Howard Stern of Sirius XM Radio. We'd probably look at him and look at his bank account and we'd say, well, there's a worldly success. Back in 2017, Howard Stern was given a contract from Sirius XM, $400 million. So surely, you get that kind of bank, and that's pretty good. Howard Stern was asked by Newsweek magazine, "Are you happy?" Howard Stern said, "I've never been happy a day in my life." Johnny Depp, Jack Sparrow, Pirates of the Caribbean, he can get $100 million a movie. Surely that would do it. Johnny Depp said, "You grow up a bit damaged or broken, and then you have some success, but you don't know how to feel good about the work you're doing or the life you're leading. You feel empty." That right there, these are just descriptions of the human condition that all of us have experienced, that we all sense and feel. Life is empty, and we are dead apart from God. Back to Ephesians 2, verse 1. "And you were dead." Not physically dead, spiritually dead, bankrupt, apart from God. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins." But then listen to the rest of this passage as Paul talks about this in verse 4. He then writes, "But God." Two of the best words ever, "but God." Right? Don't count God out, but God. But God our maker, but God the one who loves us, but God our sustainer, but God the sovereign one, but God being rich in mercy. What's mercy? Mercy is a withholding of the wrath of God. It's a withholding of what we are owed. You and I are owed, what was the consequence of sin? What is the wage? Death. We are owed eternal separation from God, but his mercy is a withholding of his wrath and not giving to us what we deserve. But God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us what?
Alive.
He made us alive together with Christ by grace. What's grace? Grace is giving something to us that we don't deserve. Mercy is withholding what we deserve. Grace is a free gift of something we didn't earn. We didn't earn the righteousness of God. We didn't earn salvation from God. It is a free gift that is undeserved that he extends to those who will receive him. It says he's made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Saved from what? Saved from that eternal separation from God. Saved from our sins. Saved from punishment, saved for Christ, saved for life now and life eternal. By grace you have been saved. And then it says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. He's talking about what's in front of us when we have Christ. The life that we have doesn't end. It continues on in heaven with him forever as he just keeps pouring out his grace and his mercy and his kindness and his love on his children that he has called to himself forever and ever and ever. We will be with Christ. For by grace, free gift, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It's not a result of you and I working harder, making enough money, making sure we do enough religious activity in order to earn God's good grace and receive forgiveness. It is the work of God from start to finish by allowing this creation to continue on through his mercy and then sending his son out of his deep love, God taking on flesh, becoming man, going to the cross, bearing our sins. It is the love of God which raised Jesus Christ up and offers you and me life. You can have life where once you were dead because of Jesus, because he has risen from the dead. God says, I will raise up your dead, empty life, and he'll give you life now. He takes your dead spirit and breathes life into it through his Holy Spirit. He awakens that which had been dormant, that which had been separated and dead, the thing that was longing to be nourished once again, to be quenched by something. Where we have gone to this world and tried to find fullness, now the Spirit comes in. He breathes life into what was dead, and we have a relationship with him. Not only that, we have life eternal, which means that when we die, our spirit is reunited, as a Christian, reunited one day with our body, with a physical body. You're not just going to be floating around forever. For a Christian, your spirit is reunited with your body, and you will have a glorified body just like the Lord Jesus Christ. A body that's fit for all of eternity. A body that will no longer get any more disease. No more sickness. No more pain. A body that's fit and made to be with God forever. So for a Christian, man, death, it's just a passage. Like it's the closing of a curtain here, but we're going on. You've got a spirit, friend. Each and every one of you in this room, you have a spirit. And your spirit will go on. It will either go on with God or it will go on apart from God. And in these moments, you have an opportunity to receive from God life for your dead spirit. He has provided an opportunity out of his mercy and out of his grace to extend to you the truth. And the truth is, there is good news for you. You don't have to be separated from God. You can repent of your sin. You can turn to him and he can wash you and cleanse you and make you a new creation. You can be brand new. You can receive new life. He can take your old dead life and breathe life into it, and you'll have a resurrected life now and forever in heaven, because of what Jesus Christ has done by rising from the dead. Friend, let Easter be a brand new day for you. Just think about all of eternity turning in a moment and spinning in a direction in which you receive the best gift that has ever been extended, eternal life with your Maker in heaven, not because of your goodness, but because of his goodness and what he has done by extending you an opportunity to receive his Son. If God has softened your heart in any way, if this good news has reached your ears, that's the mercy of God pouring faith into you so that you might move in his direction, turning from your sin and turning to him. Friend, please, let's spend eternity in heaven with him forever. You can do that now. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for each soul that you've brought into this room, those that are watching online. It is not an accident that you made us. It is not an accident that you allow us to hear this good news, that while we are yet sinners, having no merit in our own, having no ability on our own to save us, you've moved in our direction by sending your Son, Jesus Christ. This is an amazing thing. And so, Father, I pray for any person in this room who had yet to make a decision, but today they're deciding, I want this life. I no longer want to go my own way and seek the things of this world. I want my Maker. I want my Creator. I want to be filled by his love. I would love to be washed and cleansed. If that's you today, friend, in a moment, in this prayer, make this your own. Lord Jesus, I receive you. Thank you for receiving me. I admit that I am a sinner. And I need those sins washed and cleansed and I've never been able to make myself clean. But today, I know that you can. So I bow before you. Thank you for dying on the cross in my place. I receive you. And I praise you that you rose from the dead to give me life. And I receive that life right now. And as best I know how, I want to serve you. I want to love you. So Father, I just pray that you would keep changing my heart and changing my mind and giving me a deeper desire to know you, to live for you. Father, I pray for those that have prayed that prayer that you, from this point forward, just give them a passion for your word. Give them a passion for truth. Fill them with your spirit. Take their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh, a heart that beats for you. Would you fill them with the fruit of the spirit so that we might be able to walk out the things we've never been able to walk out on our own, that we would live every breath, every step in you, Lord Jesus. We praise you this morning that you are alive and you're alive in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Once again, thanks for listening. If you live in the area and are looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us at one of our weekend worship services. For service times and information about BRCC, be sure to check out brookvilleroad.cc. God bless you.